This is Ask the Governor with Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards. It's your chance to speak with Governor Edwards and ask questions that are important to you. The phone number is 877-217-5757. This is Ask the Governor on the Louisiana Radio Network.
And good afternoon to show number 27 for Governor John Bel Edwards. He's done this since April of 2016, and here we are in June of 2018, and topics remain largely the same. We are a week away from the end of another special session, and we will talk with the governor about that. If you'd like to join the conversation, your number is 877-217-5757. If you get a busy signal, be patient. Obviously, many people wish to talk to the governor from throughout the state and beyond. And before we get to the goings-on at the state capitol, today the governor released a statement regarding the presence of the Louisiana National Guard on the southern border. And what exactly are you going to do regarding this controversy that's taking place at the border?
Well, Jim, first of all, it's good to be back with you and with your listeners, and I appreciate the opportunity to continue the radio show. We were requested some time back to participate in some activities down along the southern border in Texas. And, in fact, we have been having missions performed by our National Guardsmen down there since George W. Bush was president. And the request that we got for one helicopter and three soldiers was actually identical to requests we've been getting and actually providing since 2010 when President Obama was in office. And so we are going to keep that three-man crew and that helicopter there until sometime around the middle of next month, which is when we were going to pull them back anyway so that they could focus on hurricane preparedness and response, but also to assist in some local law enforcement activities in Louisiana. This particular helicopter, the specialty is it provides night vision capability mm-hmm. along the border for drug interdiction, and it doesn't directly or indirectly participate in or in any way further what I think most people are objecting to, and certainly what I object to right now, and that is the policy of separating children from their parents as they come across the border. And so we're going to leave them in place until they would come back next month anyway. But I did issue a statement just expressing my disapproval, strong disapproval, of the policy that's currently being pursued by our federal government with respect to removing children from their families. And it seems unnecessary, and not only unnecessary, it's just inconsistent with who we are as Americans, that we would do that. And I'm gratified, I guess, to see here in the last hour or so that the president's talking about issuing an executive order so that they are not separating children from their families going forward. And certainly I hope that that will be the case. But anyway, that's the release that I made today with respect to the National Guard and the helicopter operations that we're engaged in South Texas.
When you see those pictures and hear those children cry, when you and the First Lady see and hear that, what do you think?
Well, you know, actually, we spent some time last evening watching the different news programs on TV about that, and it just tears your heart out because you know it's unnecessary. No president has ever had this policy in place before. And, you know, we understand the need to secure borders and make sure that criminals are not coming in. But we also know that when we're looking at those crying children, they're not criminals. And they are not terrorists and they're not gang members. We are better than that. And so I guess in short, you cannot be great if you're not first good. And that is not a good policy. That doesn't reflect the goodness that I know that we as Americans aspire to.
I guess the question some are asking, including some of your fellow governors, is why did this happen and what can they do collectively to protest it? And some of them have opted to take their National Guardsmen out of there.
They did, and I'm certainly not quibbling with anything that they've done. In fact, I don't know the roles, the missions that their National Guard troops were playing on the border. I know that ours have been performing this same mission since 2010. And it's a safety issue for individuals, law enforcement, border security folks who are operating along the border. to interdict drug smugglers and other criminal operations. And I know that if they don't have those helicopters with the night vision capabilities, that's a much more dangerous operation for them. The other thing is we have historically had a very good relationship with our sister states, our neighboring states,
right.
Mississippi, Texas, Arkansas, exchanging National Guardsmen and different assets as they need. You know, we did this in the flood last August, if you may remember, where we sent the National Guard into Texas and so forth. And so it's a relationship that we have. And the other thing that makes this, I think, the right decision for me and for Louisiana is our troops, our helicopter is in no way, either directly or indirectly, participating in any of the things that are being objected to across the country with respect to separating children from their families. I cannot reconcile myself to that policy, but I also can't reconcile myself to what would happen if we pull out our helicopter and you have law enforcement agents operating on the border who lack the night vision capability that our helicopter offers, and they suffer as a result of that too. So I think we did the right thing. It's, you know, these decisions can be tough sometimes, but I believe we struck the right balance.
Now today at the Capitol, some bills moved out of the House Ways and Means Committee, an array of options regarding addressing the fiscal cliff and the $640 or $50 million shortfall that's in place. Are you satisfied that the process is moving along with a week to go?
Yes. I mean, it's moving. Obviously, I would have liked to see the bills come out of committee yesterday. We do have a 10-day session, but we have three instruments out today, and they're designed to address, at least in part, the remaining shortfall, which the good news for the people of Louisiana is that the tax reduction, the net tax reduction on the people of Louisiana, even under the plan that I am supporting, would be more than $550 million, meaning from this year to next, that much less would be collected by the state of Louisiana. The fifth penny that was created a little over 2 years ago would be cut in half, but we can still fund higher education without a cut and our TOPS program without a cut, and every other branch of government, agency, I should say, would receive a reduction, but it would be strategic and something we could live with.
You're listening to Governor John Bel Edwards. The program is Ask the Governor, and we will return after a short pause and hear more and go to the phone lines. Your number is 877-217-5757. We're back after this brief pause on your local station. You're listening to Ask the Governor. I'm Jim Inkster, and Governor John Bel Edwards is in house to take your questions if you so desire. 877-217-5757. We go to James in Longview, Texas. Good afternoon, James. You're on the air with Governor Edwards. James?
Jim, and good afternoon, Governor Edwards.
Thank you, James, for calling in.
I'm always glad to speak with you. Anyhow, I've been watching with great interest the coverage of your third special session of the legislature, and seems to me that the lawmakers are really playing it mighty close with the new fiscal year coming up so soon. It almost acts like they're doing a challenge like who will blink first or kind of a dangerous game of chicken. And I'm just wondering, how do you think they'll maneuver over to avoid this fiscal cliff?
Well, James, look, obviously, we're all just a little bit anxious because we have gotten too close to June 30th without resolving the cliff. However, the conversations that I'm having with individuals in the House and the Senate, Republicans and Democrats alike, are different and better than they were before. I think there's a much clearer understanding of the need to fix the problem and the limited number of options that we have before us. And the way the last session ended, which was tragic, where an instrument that would keep half of the fifth penny and fund our scholarship program, TOPS in full and higher ed in full, and still result in over $500 million in net tax reduction for the people, actually got 64 votes on the House floor. It needed 70, but it got 32 out of 39 in the Senate, got 64 in the House, and it provides us a pretty good roadmap going forward. So I believe that we'll be successful. Three instruments did get out of the Ways and Means Committee today to go to the floor for consideration by the House as a whole, and I think that too is promising, and certainly we only have until Wednesday of next week. At 6 p.m. next Wednesday, the session will adjourn if it hasn't adjourned earlier. And I'm quite honestly looking towards success this time. And I know that the consequences of failure are catastrophic. And I think that that will help propel us towards a successful conclusion, too.
What if it's 4/10 of a penny or a third of a penny? Is that palatable?
Well, it's not palatable to me because at a half a penny, we can fund the $507 million in priorities that the Senate put in House Bill 1, the budget bill, but below the line, meaning they're not funded. But they're critically important. They're things like maintaining our veteran cemeteries, making sure that that we have our armories open, that we can respond to disasters. Mm-hmm. For the first time in a long time, you're seeing cuts to the National Guard, to the Department of Veterans Affairs, but it's also higher education. Right now, higher education is in line for a $95 million cut, state general fund. That's catastrophic in and of itself, but on top of that, TOPS is $85 million short, and we can reduce the tax burden and fund these things adequately, and in fact, with respect to TOPS and higher education, we can fund them without a cut at all, and we should. And I will point out, however, the legislature funded its own budget without a reduction, and not only did they fund themselves without a reduction, they took priority on the first dollar of revenue raised. And so sometimes it's don't do as, you know, it's just
do as I say, yeah, not as I do.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and so but I think we're going to be successful this time. I really do, because the range of disagreement is much narrower than it was. But if we stick with 0.4 instead of 0.5, there's an additional $85 million or so in cuts that have to be made. And look, the original budget that I proposed had cuts. A continuation budget would have been $300 million more than I requested. I'm sorry, a continuation budget would have been $500 million more than I requested. A standstill budget would have been $300 million more than I requested. And so there were already cuts built into my request, and the Senate action is $62 million less than I requested. So we're at a compromise point now. And I think that's where you're going to see us come to rest, within a few dollars.
Michael in New Orleans, you're on Ask the Governor with Governor John Bel Edwards. Hi, Michael.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my phone call. I'm Mike Prevost in New Orleans.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. Listen, I think in the end, we're going to be judged, our legacy, we leave it, in terms of how we deal with the needy and the pot. People in who are struggling and sick. I was just wondering, in terms of your agenda for dealing with poverty, in particular, the residents in St. James and St. John's Parish who have the high cancer rates and the low incomes, and anything in the budget for them?
Well, certainly, Mike, I appreciate the call, and you get right to the heart of, I think, what I, as a Catholic Christian, at least, believe we're called to do from Matthew 25, and that is to do for the least among us. I can tell you that in the budget is funding, if we do the half penny, even though they've been cut by $67 million, but the Department of Health is funded in order to maintain the critical Medicaid programs and the partner hospitals and other things that folks in St. James and St. John and folks all over Louisiana rely upon. We're also going to continue with the Medicaid expansion, which is critically important. We have about 470,000 working poor adults who have health care coverage, most of them for the first time in their lives. And we're saving this year $317 million state general fund through expansion, because we're only paying 6 cents on the dollar for their coverage, whereas if they were uninsured, we'd have to pay 40 cents on the dollar for their care. So we're actually saving money, and we're getting them in to primary care visits with their doctors, and they are being diagnosed earlier with diseases so that they can start treatment earlier that's more effective and actually cheaper and keeps them with a higher quality of life going forward. And so we're going to continue to do that all over the state of Louisiana, because we have poor people, good, hardworking poor people all over the state, not just concentrated in one part of the state.
Thank you, Michael. Jeannie in New Orleans. Hi, Jeannie. You're on the air with Governor John Bel Edwards.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Governor. Governor, I'm a geographer, and I wanted to hear your position on this delicate balance around economic development and public safety. So I'm really thinking about this in the context of St. James, as the previous caller was thinking about, and really this tension around allowing industry to flourish there, and then coupling that with the fact that residents are surrounded by these petrochemical refineries now, and they don't have an evacuation route in case of an emergency. So, you know, my question really is, how do you plan to ensure that the endangered residents in St. James are not further endangered and then harmed, you know, just in the...
All right.
Well, Jeannie, again, thank you very much for the question. Look, we have to have economic development in Louisiana. We want the investment. We want the job creation. We want the benefits that flow from that so that we can have a state that can be responsive to the needs of our people, whether it's public safety, whether it's health care, you name it, the things the state does are very important. But I can tell you that that we are monitoring the situation all across the state of Louisiana, and you mentioned St. James. We work with the local elected officials there. In fact, I work very, very closely with them and making sure that as we move forward with additional economic development, that we don't do so in a way that jeopardizes public health. And, you know, there's some information out there and, quite frankly, some misinformation as well about what the state of health is and whether cancer rates are higher than elsewhere and so forth. But we continue to monitor those things. And quite often I meet with the Secretary of the Department of Environmental Quality and with the Secretary of the Department of Health together so that we can look at the projects that are ahead in front of us and make determinations about whether we should or should not move forward. And if we move forward, what can we do to mitigate against any risks associated with health? And we're going to continue to take a balanced but responsible approach to this so that there is no doubt in my mind we can have investment, economic development, and job growth and protect public safety and public health, and that's what we're doing.
William in Metairie. Hi, William. You're on the air with the governor.
No, thank you for taking my call. With Louisiana still being the incarceration capital of the world, my question was, on the last show, you mentioned you would be against legalization, maybe even against decriminalization of cannabis. What would be the issue with simple decriminalization and then getting those people out of prison?
William, first of all, thank you very much for the call. I do have, if I didn't announce it last month, I have a little news on this front. Louisiana is no longer leading the nation in terms of our incarceration rate. And while it's not a gigantic leap, it is a very favorable movement because it's for the first time in decades. We can say that we don't have the highest incarceration rate in Louisiana. That honor and distinction now goes to the state of Oklahoma. And that is something that just happened in the last few weeks. And so we know we're moving in a much better direction. Look, I'm just not prepared to support legalization or decriminalization of marijuana for recreational purposes. Obviously, we're moving forward with medicinal marijuana. We're trying to make that option available to people when their doctors are prescribing. I think the technical term may be recommending marijuana for a certain set of enumerated conditions. And that's something that I do support. And I've signed, I think, two bills into law to make that happen. However, I'm not prepared to go beyond that. And I think it would be much wiser to watch what happens in the few states that have moved in that direction to see what their results are and what their experiences are so that we can make an informed decision if and when that ever comes to be. But I'm just not there.
We mentioned, I think it was last month, a caller made reference to a bill filed by Ted James that would expand uses for medicinal marijuana. Did you sign that bill?
I did. And one of the reasons that I signed it, and quite frankly, one of the reasons it passed and had so little opposition, is because I believe what it did is it made medical marijuana available to treat chronic pain if a doctor believed it was the appropriate treatment and the patient wanted to pursue it. And part of that is because we believe it's a better option in many cases than opioids. And we have this epidemic around the country with this crisis of opioids. And so we did expand to include chronic pain as one of the conditions for which medical marijuana can be recommended by a physician.
With a week to go, and you noted that the session must end by 6 o'clock a week from today, these bills moving out of committee today, is that a positive sign?
It is a positive sign. The Speaker and the President and I met on Monday, and the plan then was to have bills out of committee no later than today, to take them up on the floor tomorrow, and those are bills that would come out of Ways and Means, the three bills that we talked about previously, but also whatever appropriations instruments that need to come out of the Appropriations Committee, that they would come out today, be taken up on the House floor tomorrow, and sent over to the Senate so that the Senate can start its work and we can conclude the session successfully and on time.
877-217-5757 is your number. And our producers today are J.C. Kane and Becca Dill. We thank Michelle Southern for being the producer for the first 26 shows. This is show number 27 for Governor John Bel Edwards, who is now well into his third year as governor of Louisiana. And before we go to the break, a statewide official said that you should resign last week.
I take that about as seriously as I take most everything that Senator Kennedy says. I want to work with him to move our state forward, but that was just a silly statement, one that obviously wasn't meant to be taken seriously. It won't happen. And by the way, I'm very proud of the record that we've been able to achieve here in Louisiana. We'll talk more about that when we come back.
And we will be back after this pause on your local station. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Ask the Governor. 877-217-5757 is your number for Governor John Bel Edwards. Sarah in New Orleans. Hi, Sarah. You're on with Governor Edwards.
Hi, this is Sarah. I live in New Orleans, and I'm calling because I'm really concerned about spending on public infrastructure, and particularly flooding related to the failure of public infrastructure like ditches and culverts. And for example, I know that the residents of St. James are very concerned because they don't have an evacuation plan or an evacuation route at their community during major flooding events. So I want to know if the governor plans to respond to their demands and the demands of other Louisianans for infrastructure improvements. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Sarah.
Well, Sarah, first of all, thank you for calling in. And I meet with the St. James officials often. The parish president, Timmy Roussel, but also the sheriff, the assessor, the school board members, and we have a very good working relationship with respect to infrastructure. You lost me a little bit on the questioning, but I know that, for example, from HUD, we're soon to receive about $1.2 billion that will go to mitigate against the risk of flooding. And some of that will be spent in St. James for sure to help with those risks. It sounded like you were talking primarily about transportation infrastructure, which, as you know, we've got a $13 billion backlog now of needed infrastructure improvements, primarily roads and bridges, but also ports and airports and rail for a piece of that as well. We're going to continue to push forward and do all that we can on transportation infrastructure. In fact, we are taking a very aggressive approach, pursuing federal dollars through grants, but also maximizing the use of our transportation trust fund dollars that come from the federal government and our own. And we're looking at different delivery options, including public-private partnerships, and we're pursuing the first of those in our state's history. We're looking at bonding out a portion of our federal transportation trust fund dollars over the next 10 to 12 years in order to move forward some of the big capacity projects. So we're going to keep working on infrastructure, and certainly as it relates to any sort of evacuation route in the event of a disaster, you know, for example, an approaching hurricane and that sort of thing, we are going to continue to work with the local elected officials and the legislative delegation as well.
877-217-5757 is your number for Governor John Bel Edwards. Here is a call from New Orleans. Betsy. Betsy, good afternoon. You're on with the governor.
Hi. Thanks for taking the time out of your schedule, Governor.
Yes, ma'am.
I think it's so important. I think it's so important that you've taken the time, even though you're in special session, and I really, really appreciate it. I will keep my comments brief because I know that your time is valuable. I've been looking at the school expense deduction and am concerned that this is something that should not be part of the legislature's ability to not balance the budget. And I'm wondering what could be gained financially from canceling this. I know it wouldn't be popular with the constituents, but how much is lost because of the school expense deduction on the Louisiana state taxes?
Well, Betsy, thank you very much for the call. I don't have that committed to memory, and I don't have the information in front of me. If memory serves me, it's a relatively very small number. It is as you mentioned, a popular deduction because it's designed to allow people to make sure that their kids are ready for school, and there are certain expenses that can be deducted from their taxes related to that. But if you will stay on the line, speak to Micah, we will get your contact information, and I will get that precise information back to you. And if we need any clarification from you on exactly what it is you're looking for, we'll get that from you so that we can make sure that we're being responsive to what it is that you're asking about.
All right, and I think we may have lost Betsy, but if you call back, we will take your information. 877-217-5757 for Governor John Bel Edwards. Dylan in New Orleans. Hi, Dylan. You're on the air with the governor.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Thanks for speaking with me, Governor.
Hi, Dylan. It must be New Orleans today.
Yeah,
you're definitely New Orleans.
You're
the fifth out of seven calls from New Orleans. But go ahead, Dylan. Thank you for calling.
Busy today. I have a question about tax subsidies, especially in light of our current budget woes. I question massive tax exemptions to the fossil fuel industry, especially when projects like the Bayou Bridge Pipeline have been shown to only create something like 20 full-time jobs. I question the logic of economic development in justifying the ongoing threats to the health of our residents in Louisiana.
Dylan, thank you very much for the call. First of all, the Bayou Bridge Pipeline is critically important, not just to create new jobs, but to be able to maintain jobs we have, because we've got to have a safe and reliable way to move that product so that that feedstock can go to those facilities down along the river. It's either going to happen by truck or by rail or by pipeline, and I believe the pipeline is the safest way to do it. But if the product can't get there because the infrastructure gets too old to use, a whole lot more than 20 jobs are going to be lost. And a huge part of our economy and the jobs that we have in Louisiana are tied to those facilities down along the river that will be the beneficiary of the pipeline. So with respect to any incentives that we've been giving to the fossil fuel industry, I can tell you that for the last several years, we've had a depressed sector of our economy in the state of Louisiana as it relates to oil in particular because of the low price of oil. And so there hasn't been any new exemptions given to them over the last several years. And we need that industry to come back, especially the oil service sector. And of course, that's a function of the price of oil, and that's a function of supply and demand. And so we do hope that that will come back. But I can tell you that we have not increased any of the subsidies or exemptions and those sorts of things to the fossil fuel industry since I've been governor, nor have I targeted them for additional revenue, because I think that that would only add insult to injury, given the depressed state of the economy as it relates to that particular sector.
Thank you, Dylan. It is New Orleans Day, Ann in New Orleans. Ann, good afternoon. You're on the air with Governor John Bel Edwards.
Hello, Governor. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
My question regards the Skelly plan, which did exist at one time. Why was there no consideration given to maybe reauthorization, or at least taking the provisions of the Skelly plan and repassing that bill?
Well, Ann, thank you very much for the call. I can tell you there it has been considered. In fact, 27 months ago, when this term first started and we went in our first special sessions, we raised revenue to deal with what was the largest budget deficit in the history of our state in my first full year, which was $2 billion. And at that time, the legislature put a 27-month sunset on that revenue and said, we're going to study our tax structure and our budgeting structure in the interim period, and we're going to do long-term structural reforms based on the results of that study. So that group of experts that formed that task force, economists and others, they looked at everything related to Stelly and other options as well, and did make recommendations. The real problem, man, is that in the 27 intervening months, the legislature did not implement a single one of those recommendations, which is why we now find ourselves just a couple of weeks from the cliff on June 30th, when $1.4 billion worth of revenue expires, and why we have to successfully conclude this third special session of the year so that we can address enough of the revenue to adequately fund our critical priorities. I think we're going to be successful and do that. I will tell you that the likelihood of reimposing Stelly is very, very slight. There just is not an appetite in the legislature today to do anything on the income tax side. And if you remember, the Stelly principles were that we would increase revenue that we get from the income tax and decrease revenue from the sales tax. And we did it in a way that was revenue neutral at first, but it was the revenue was supposed to grow over time, and that certainly did happen. But there's not the appetite in the legislature today to go back to Stelly, I can assure you.
Thank you, Ann. 877-217-5757 is your number, and we will return with more from Governor John Bel Edwards after this brief timeout. There's still time to get in. I see one line open, so if you'd like to call, please grab it, and we'll return after this brief pause on your station with more from Governor John Bel Edwards. Good afternoon, and you're listening to Ask the Governor. I'm Jim Inkster, your moderator. Another segment with Governor John Bel Edwards, and amid a special session, the seventh one during the 29 months that the governor has been in office, and through the seven sessions, you have been generally optimistic, and it sounds as though you're optimistic something will happen, perhaps the full half penny that you're seeking in the next 7 days. But as we look ahead beyond the next week, what will it look like next year?
Well, first of all, we need stability, and that's what it's so desperately needed in the state of Louisiana, so that TOPS recipients and their parents aren't questioning every year. So that we can run higher education institutions and keep the best and brightest faculty and so forth. But the good news is the tax burden of the state of Louisiana will go down from this year to next. Even if we keep half the penny, it will reduce by more than $550 million, Jim, and that's critically important for the people to understand. And there is some confusion around the state. Some people think that we're trying to get an additional half penny. No, the fifth penny will go away on June 30th, and the question now, and this really is the range of disagreement, do we keep four-tenths or do we keep half, five-tenths of that fifth penny?
That's about $80 million.
Yeah, it's about $85 million difference. The reason $85 million is so hard to bridge is because even if we keep the half penny, there are already a couple hundred million dollars in cuts of at issue. I asked to fix the cliff at $648 million, which is the difference in general fund revenue that's forecasted from this year and next year. if we do the half penny, you don't come out to 648, you come out to about 585, 586. And so there's a $62 million cut right there beyond what I was advocating for, and my number already had cuts. And so if you put $85 million on top of that in further reductions, you get to the point where you just simply cannot fund our critical priorities. You can't house our inmates. You can't take care of our sick. You can't check on our foster kids and investigate abuse and neglect complaints and those sorts of things. And it's just critically important that we stabilize. We can do it, and I'm optimistic by nature. One of the reasons that I think we're going to do it, too, is to maintain the momentum we've got, where we have the lowest unemployment we've had in 10 years. We have more people working in Louisiana than any time in our history. No state in the nation exceeded our decline in unemployment last year, and we're announcing the biggest economic development deals in our state's history right now across the state of Louisiana because we have stabilized higher education since I've been governor. And if we don't continue on this path, we know that things will get worse and not better. But if we will stay on the path that we're currently on, then we will have more opportunity, more prosperity for people in Louisiana. And I think that's what we're being called upon to do by the folks across our state.
Eric in Baton Rouge. Hi, Eric. Good afternoon. You're on with Governor John Bel Edwards.
Hello, Governor. I was wondering, why is it that your office and the Department of Natural Resources has refused to halt the construction of the Bayou Ridge Pipeline, even though Judge Alvin Turner ruled that it's illegal?
Well, Eric, I think I addressed this before in another question. It's critically important that that the hydrocarbons that are needed in order to keep the industry going in Louisiana be able to get there safely. And it's going to get there either by truck, by rail, or by pipeline. And I believe that a modern pipeline that is built according to current standards and where all the permit requirements are met, all the regulations and statutory requirements are met, are in our best interest. And so for those reasons, and because all of those requirements have been met with respect to the Bayou Bridge Pipeline, then they are receiving their permits and they are moving forward. And I think it's critically important for our future. I can tell you that some of the things that we saw previously, decades ago in Louisiana, will not be repeated. For example, interrupting the flow of water because they don't properly place their spoil and other things. Those things are not going to happen. And so we're paying particular attention to this. And look, I understand that for some people it's controversial, and I certainly respect your opinion, and it's your right to express your opinion. But at the end of the day, we're making decisions based upon science and based upon the needs of our economy and the overall well-being of our state. And mm-hmm. sometimes if you do that, you're going to have disagreement. And so obviously that's where we are today.
And it is an important issue, and we've had several people apparently call and try to get in to talk about it, and we've talked about it now with two different callers, so I would ask that our remaining callers move on to other topics. Meg in New Orleans. Hi, Meg. You're on the air with Governor John Bel Edwards. Hi, Meg.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. My question is about access to health care and treatment in cases of emergency.
All right. Go ahead, Meg.
Wayne in St. James, who right now, in case of emergency, if they have to be helivacked out, the helicopter needs to land on New Star property, and sometimes it takes up to 45 minutes.
What about access to health care? I think she was talking about something in St. James. There have been a few inquiries in that area as well, but is that an issue?
Well, it's not an issue that's been expressed to me by the local elected officials in St. James, and certainly I've been in St. James personally many times to meet with them and with citizens, and because of these calls, I will reach out to the parish president today and to the sheriff and ascertain whether they believe that there is a particular issue at play in St. James Parish. But in terms of access to health care, I think she was talking about emergency transport,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I will take a look at that. Obviously, the whole thing around Medicaid expansion and making sure that we have a properly funded and functioning Department of Health focused on achieving better health outcomes. All of that has to do with meaningful access to health care. And so it's something that we're concentrating on every single day. And by the way, delivering results on.
Brianna in New Orleans. Hi, Brianna. You're on the air with Governor Edwards.
Hi. So my question is surrounding the industrial tax exemption program. So knowing that Louisiana by far is the most generous with their industrial tax exemption program, and all of the cities and their public service organizations within Louisiana, such as Orleans School Parish or Orleans Public School Board, don't currently have a say in how much of their local tax dollars the state gives away.
Well, Brianna, that's the state of the industrial tax exemption that existed when I became governor. Since I've come in, I've actually allowed local government to have a say in whether an exemption is granted, and that is the first that's the first time that that has happened. And we've also reduced the amount of the exemption that can be granted. For example, for many, many years before I became governor, it was a straight 100% exemption for 10 years. That is no longer the case. The exemption going forward will be 80%, and so the industry will actually come onto the tax rolls in the first year of operation, and so that will be very helpful. But as to whether or not the exemption is even granted in the first instance, the school system, the sheriff, and the parish government will all have a say in that.
Tony in Lafayette. Hi, Tony. You're on with Governor Edwards.
Hey, Governor. They don't have the permits. Alvin Turner said the permit is illegal. You need to enforce that. Please explain why you're not.
Well, Tony, there are permits that are in issue for certain portions of the Bayou Bridge pipeline, and those are moving forward. I think there is one segment that has been held up. And if something has happened since the last time I got an update, then I will certainly look into that as well. So I appreciate all of the interest in the Bayou Bridge pipeline today. All right. I will be looking into the matter that you just questioned me about.
A question sent to me regarding the budget and the hard lifted is to get two-thirds support in both houses. Not every state, certainly the federal government doesn't require this. Would that be a way to address the problems that we've been having with all these machinations through several special sessions?
Well, certainly it would be a way to do it. You know, it is constitutionally required to have a two-thirds vote to raise revenue. I quite frankly don't see that requirement is going to be waived anytime soon, even if we actually had a constitutional convention, for example. I suspect that requirement would remain in place. But I'm heartened by the fact that we did get 64 of the 70 votes needed on the House floor on the last night of the previous session. And so, and by the way, the only other bill that was under consideration got 38 votes. And so the path forward, the path to 70 is pretty clear. It's around the half penny. Which reduces the fifth penny by half, reduces the overall tax burden by more than $500 million from this year to next, but still allows us to adequately fund our critical priorities. And you know, we talked a lot today about economic development. More than any time in our past, that is tied to higher education. And we simply have to stabilize state general fund support for higher education if we are going to have investment and job growth in Louisiana, because these people making investment decisions, they want to know if they invest their money in Louisiana, they're going to have educated, skilled, trained employees to be successful. So I think we're on the right track there, and I look for success next Wednesday.
Well, thank you, Governor Edwards. We'll be back next month with Governor John Bel Edwards. I think it's the 18th of July. Until then, for Becca Dill and J.C. Kane, I'm Jim Inkster. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Jim. Thank all of you.
Thanks for listening to Ask the Governor with Governor John Bel Edwards. This program is produced by the Louisiana Radio Network.
Louisiana.